Good evening and welcome to Encounter, our midweek service of presence and prayer. Whether you're here with us in the theater or joining us online, we're glad that you're joining us. We hope that this will be a time to just take a deep breath in the middle of the week and experience God's presence with us. Just a couple of notes. Our hope for this service is that it will kind of shift and change and evolve as it goes. But for the next several weeks, we're going to be encountering Scripture through some different prayer practices and contemplative practices. Tonight, we're going to be using Visio Divina to do that. And so we will be looking at an image on the screen. And so if you're here in the theater, I invite you to find a place where you can see the screen really well, and you can move at any time during the service. Feel free to move. And I've also got some paper and pens over here if you'd like to write some reflections during the Visio Divina time. And again, you're welcome to come get those at any point as well. Our congregation is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year, and as part of that, there is a Bible reading plan that we've created where we're going to read through the entire Bible between now and the end of November. And so some small groups are forming around those. If you're interested in that, please let me know, and I'll get you connected to a small group. But for our Sunday worship services, we are going to be focusing on smaller pieces of those texts that we're reading through. So we started with Genesis this last Sunday. This coming Sunday, we'll be still in Genesis, focused on another text, and we're going to read that text tonight, and that will be the focus for our time together. So just wanted to give you some context for where we're at. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you are taking this time to just be with God this evening, and so I hope it is an encounter with God. Let us stand and sing, if you are able, God of the Sparrow. To invite you to join me in our opening prayer. God of dreamers and doubters, worriers and wanderers, remind us of your presence with us this night. From the pinnacle to the pit, help us step out in faith and trust the depths of your grace. Will you join me now in our prayer of confession? We have strayed, O God, from your will and your way. We have betrayed family and friends and used others to suit our purposes. We have forgotten our faith, and we have failed you and each other. Heal us, O God. And now I invite you into a moment of silent confession. Friends, here is proof that God's faithfulness never ends. While we were yet sinners, God sent God's Son, Jesus Christ, that we might not be cast down to the pit, but rise with him to everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now hear these words from Genesis 37, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 24. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now. See if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I have heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornamented robe that he had wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to invite us into a time of Visio Divina this evening. And just a word about Visio Divina. Visio Divina is a way that we can kind of enter a more contemplative pace. It invites us to see all that there is to see, exploring the entirety of an image. It invites us to see deeply beyond first and second impressions, below initial ideas, judgments, or understandings. It invites us to be seen, addressed, surprised, and transformed by God, who is never limited or tied to any image, but can speak through them. So some helpful suggestions for practicing Visio Divina. I invite you to focus on your breath. If your mind begins to wander, inhale and exhale slowly. Stay mindful of your breathing as a way to bring you back into the present moment. When you listen to the scripture reading, hold on to a word or phrase that resonates with you. And as you look at the art, consider repeating this word or phrase as a mantra in your head to kind of help you stay focused. If you find yourself not knowing what to think, and that's okay, or if you're trying to figure out what the art means, remember that you're invited to simply be an observer. As you look, you can jot down some simple observations or think about what you see, or ask yourself questions such as, why did the artist choose that color? Or why did the artist portray the story in this way? Or how does this art make me feel? Perhaps your questions will lead to more questions and more observations, and then you'll be getting somewhere. All right. I'm going to open us with a prayer, and this is actually a poem by E.E. Cummings. I thank you, God, for most this amazing. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees, and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay great happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human, merely being, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Amen. Now I invite you to relax and open your heart and mind to God. Prepare to bring the whole of yourself, analytical, emotional, and intuitive, to the process. You can center yourself by taking a deep breath and relaxing your body as best you can. Allow your shoulders to lower away from your ears. Let your arms rest in your lap and let your feet be fully supported by the floor. Feel the weight of your body held by the chair and spend this time in quiet. Open yourself to God's voice. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart, enabling you to see what God wants you to see. I'm going to give you a moment just to simply gaze at the image, and I invite you to let your eyes rest on the details. Note your feelings as you examine the whole and parts of this work. Thank you. invite you to listen as I read the scripture again. I invite you to remain receptive and open to surprises that God may reveal to you. I invite you to release preconceived notions and keep an attitude of wonder. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now. See if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said to him, "They have gone away, for I have heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue them out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornamented robe that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. As you spend a few more moments gazing at this image, a couple of questions for pondering. Imagine that you are in this scene. What do you see from your vantage point? What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you sense? What do you see, and what is most striking to you about this piece? What parts of the image are your eyes most drawn to? What parts did you quickly brush by? What emotions emerge for you when you observe this painting? Think about these things as we gaze on the image. Thank you. I wanted to read the artist's statement about this piece. It was created by Lyle Gwynn Garrity on using acrylic and India ink on watercolor paper. And this is what they have to say about this piece. In this piece, we join Joseph in the pit, or cistern, an ancient receptacle used to catch and store rainwater. The fact that the pit is empty signifies that the land, like the brothers' hearts, is cracked and barren. We sit in the cold emptiness of the pit, looking up, waiting to see if any brothers will turn back or have mercy. Joseph's robe lies in a heap on the ground, though hints of gold remind us how, over the course of many years, God will nurture the brothers' deep betrayal into beautiful reconciliation. So in the next few moments, I invite you to reflect on the artist's statement. Do you identify with that reflection? How does hearing the statement influence how you see the art? How is the imagery cohesive with the scripture? And if you were to paint this text, what imagery, colors, and details might you include? And then finally, in a few moments of prayer, I invite you to bring all that you've experienced before God. I invite you to offer yourself to God and allow God to speak a word into your heart this evening that you might take with you.
Thank you.
Let us continue in prayer. I am going to name folks who need prayer, and I'm going to say, Lord, in your mercy, and I invite you to respond, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers for those who feel hopeless. May they feel hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who need healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who are jobless. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We lift up all who feel lonely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those whose lives are filled with conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who grieve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we remember those who hunger. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. O God, hear all of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join in singing Amazing Grace. Oh, friends, go forth this night with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.